going to delve into that gospel a little bit today, especially when John the Baptist says, I didn't know him. Twice he says it. And yet we realize in the womb of his mother, Elizabeth, when all of a sudden Mary visits, and all of a sudden John Baptist realizes Jesus is present in Mary's womb, what does he do? He leaps for joy. So how can he say in this gospel, I didn't know him? I didn't know him. We got to get to that today. We find ourselves once again in the season of ordinary time. And whenever you think about the word ordinary, so many times you think about no big deal, unexceptional. It's not what we mean. When we talk about ordinary time, this is what we really talk about. It's not a time of feasting, as we do in the Christmas and Easter seasons. Not a time of fasting, it's not a time of penance, not really a time of preparing as we do in Advent and Lent. Ordinary time is about this. This is a time in which Jesus walks among us, he teaches us, transforms us, and leads us to eternal life. The other seasons point to events. Now Jesus walks amongst us, teaches us, and tells us how to follow him. And so to do that today, what I want to theme this first homily of ordinary time on is this, the power of one. I want to begin today by talking about the power of one letter. The example I'm using this weekend would be this. If I throw out the word crock pot, what comes to mind? Well, it's something that you find in your kitchen that we use in cooking, correct? Now, all I have to do is change one letter, an O to an A, and a crockpot becomes a crackpot. Some of you may say, Father Schuster, you're nothing but a crackpot. What's that mean? It means this, an eccentric and foolish person. One letter. I can change a letter and the word sounds the same. Here are two examples. Ball and ball. A ball with an L is something that I'd find out on a playground in which kids throw around, they play with, they hit. Meanwhile, ball with a W means what? Cry. How about birth and birth? Birth with an E. Okay? Birth with an E. If I say, everyone, you better give me a wide berth today because today is not a good day for Father. What's that mean? You keep your distance. Okay? But you change that E to an I and you get the word birth, and that means what? To be born. Okay? I'll give you one quick example and then we're going to start delving into the gospel of today. I can actually take a letter from a word and continually do it until I come down to one word, one letter and one word. All I got to do is remove one letter. Here's the example I came up with. We'll start with the word startling. Defined as amazing, very astonishing. Take one letter from it, and we have starting. From starting, we move to staring, to string, to sting, to sing, to sin, to in, to the word I. All I do is take one letter from it, and I still have a word which has meaning. All right, let's move to the gospel of today. Again, the power of one. Power of one letter. I don't want you to cheat today. I don't want you to look in your hymnals, your missalettes, or on your smartphones. But I'm going to give you a little brain teaser today. Okay, here's the brain teaser. Later on in Mass, Father Schuster is going to hold up the host. And he's going to say these words. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the blank of the world. All right. John the Baptist in today's gospel says something very similar. He says, behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the blank of the world. Can you get him? What does Father Schuster say when he holds up the host? Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the what? Plural or singular? No, plural, sins. John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the blank of the world. Plural or singular? So what's the difference? Now some of you will say, well, a sin is this. one choice in which we offend God, who's good. Or you could say sins, where we have referred to the same thing, multiple sins that are offense to God. It's not what we mean here. Because this is what John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." What's the sin? What is it? It's not one sin that we've committed, the sin of the world. Father Joe Robinson says it this way, it's fascinating. This is what he writes. "The singular word sin can be used as a description of the general state the world finds itself in. Poverty, wars, injustice, hatred, dishonesty, killings, sexual perversion, greed, unnecessary suffering, etc. Our sins, plural, are expressions of our participation in the sinful environment we live in. Examples? Choices we make that lead to poverty, wars, injustice, hatred, dishonesty, killings, sexual perversion, greed, unnecessary suffering. Our sins have led to the sin of the world." Okay, and yet even that sin, Jesus Christ conquered on the cross. All right, let's move this power of one to a word now. Okay, we're going to learn now. We're going to get back to where I started this homily. And it goes about this, to know about someone and to know someone. Two different things. One word, one has about, one does not. Okay, John the Baptist today says, "I didn't know him." And I gave you the example earlier of how the visitation of Mary, all of a sudden we realize that John in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy, recognizes that there's something different in Mary's womb. So he did know something there. Okay? Whether he knew about Jesus or knew him, that's all can be debated. But here's the interesting thing. When they were born, we can't really prove, even as relatives, if they ever crossed paths. This side of the church could say they did. This side of the church could say they didn't. We could have a debate all day. Father Schuster, go watch football and I'd still let you debate. Okay? We just don't know. But it's very clear today that John the Baptist says, "I didn't know him," twice. How do you understand that? Well, here's the way I would look at it. John the Baptist knew Jesus to be a righteous man, whether they crossed paths or not. After all, how could John the Baptist say when Jesus came, and John says to him, "You should be baptized by you. I shouldn't do this." John realized that this man was more righteous than he was. He knew something about him. He was righteous. But he didn't really know him, who he really was. But he did remember this. The Father said this. We heard it at the end of the gospel. "Upon who you see the Holy Spirit descend and remain, he will baptize with the Holy Spirit." And when Jesus comes forward and he's baptized and he sees the Holy Spirit descend, he can say, "I now know him, the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world, the one who's greater than I, the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." Think about this. When you heard that when I was appointed pastor here, most of you here, I don't know of any of you who really knew me before I came. So what did you try to do? Some of you probably said, "Who cares? When he shows up, we'll figure him out." But others of you probably got on your smartphones, or maybe you called someone and got a connection to try to figure out what? What can we find about him, right? What can you tell me about him? Okay, something general, right? You can tell me about him. Okay, different from this, we'll figure out who he is. We're going to know him, about him, when he comes. To know about someone, general. To know someone, specific. John the Baptist, to know about him, righteous. To know him, look, there he is. The Lamb of God. Just one more thing in closing today on the power of one. This is about letter case, just case. The God that we worship isn't a small g God. It's a capital G God. Differing from a God, our God is alive, present, desires us to love him and to have a relationship with him. So as we begin this ordinary time, remember ordinary time. Jesus journeys with us. He teaches us. He tries to transform us. Let's seek that journey. For our God is a God of life, grace, and peace. So God's blessings to you and a blessed ordinary time to all of you this day.